Everybody, I'm not sure exactly what type of technology this is, but I know that it's Yaakov Shmerkler that has set it all up with my daughter Shani, and I want to thank them. And I want to begin by thanking also the sponsors. And each sponsor has a certain tachlis of why they're sponsoring it, and that's all been posted. I just want to read the names of the tzaddikim and the tzadkonias who are kind enough to sponsor this. Yehud and Yocheved. Yehud and Yocheved Daphne, Menachem and Shane D. Bash, Adam and Lindsay Oaken, Henry and Beverly Shachar, Naftali and Rachel Levy, Steve and Joanne Levine, Anonymous, Helen and Jacob Weichholz, and Avi and Ilana Dubin. And all of the things that they're asking for and should be answered, and we should all of us together be zeichet to hear, service Tarvis, Fuas, Yeshuas, and Nechamas, Lon Lakal Yisro. I really wish that I was able to see you now and not be talking to a camera. But this is the Masav that we're in. There's a story that I've told so many times over the years, and I usually end with this story, but I feel like beginning with this story. And it goes back to the Tzaddik, the Shpola Zaidi, Schusi Galeno. And the Shpola Zaidi was once, the night of Pesach, he came home from shul with the other men. And the children and the grandchildren greeted him at the door. They were all excited. And he was waiting to hear the traditional nusach, the traditional words that are spoken by the children and grandchildren when the men come home from shul, which translate from the Yiddish, the Hebrew, into when father comes home, kshavo abba beis haknesses, when father comes home from shul, tzarech lekadish miyad, he has to say kiddush right away. In order that the children shouldn't fall asleep, v'yishalu, and they'll be able to be awakened to ask the four questions, manishtan, k'sheba abam beis haknesses. And the children didn't ask that question. They didn't say that, k'sheba abam beis haknesses. They didn't say that. When father comes from shul, they didn't say that. And the Shpola Zaidi said, didn't you learn in cheder what you're supposed to say? And the children didn't know what the Shpola Zaidi was talking about. Shpola Zaidi began to cry and he said, Kishaba Abba Mbeis HaKnesses means that when our Father, Avinu Shebashamayim, that when our Father comes, Mbeis HaKnesses from this highest place, in Shamayim, and he enters into every Jewish home, he comes into our homes, as we're taught, that he comes into every Jewish home to be with us for the Seder. Kishaba Abba Mbeis HaKnesses, Abba Tzarech Lekadish Miyad, you have to betroth us, you have to be mekadesh us, you have to marry us, you have to sanctify us immediately. Kedesh lo yishnu atinoikas, in order that the children not fall asleep. And the Shpola Zaidi said, know that your children not fall asleep, meaning that we've gone through such a long, difficult galus, that we're beginning, many Jews are beginning to fall asleep. And they're no longer asking the four questions. They're no longer wondering, why are these things happening to us? They're no longer asking for you. So tzarech lekadosh miyad, all of us, on the night of Pesach, are little children. And we're little children who are afraid of falling asleep. I'm asking Hashem's Baruch, to be Mekadosh Hashem, to sanctify us, to renew his relationship with us, to reveal his presence to us once again. And I was thinking that this year none of us are going to be coming home from shul into the house. The only one who's going to be coming from shul is Avinu Shebashamayim. None of us are going to be coming back from shul. So we have to ask Hashem, You're the only one that's coming from Shul, Rabbi Shlomo. You're the only one that's coming from Shul. Sarach l'kadosh miyad. Please, please be makadosh us immediately. The Vilna Gaon, it's a famous word from the Gra from the Vilna Gaon, that the Gaon asks, why is it that we see in the Haggadah that the Tanoim wanted to find more makis in Mitzrayim. They were trying to come up with a greater cheshbon, a number of the plagues that were brought upon the Egyptians. 50, 200, 250. Why were the Tanoim trying to find more makis in Mitzrayim? To come up with a higher figure, with a greater number. And the Vilna Gaon taught, because it says in the Pasuk, Kol ha-machla shasanti b'Mitzrayim le'osim alecha, Kani Hashem Rafecha, that the sickness that I have placed upon the Egyptians, Lo Asim Alecha, I'm not going to place that sickness upon you. I'm not going to place that upon you. Because I'm the one, I'm Hashem, I'm the one who heals you. And as it says in the Pasuk, Vehisa Hashem Uchal Kol Chayli, Luchalmad Veharoim, Luchalmad Vemitzroim Haroim La Yasimam Bach, that all of the diseases, all of the misery and sickness, all of the plagues of Egypt, I will not place upon you. So the Vilna Gaon thought that the Tanaim were trying so hard to find more sicknesses that were included in the plagues, that were included in the plagues of Mitzrayim, to uncover more sicknesses, to reveal the power, the unbelievable power and strength of that Makkah, of those plagues that were in Egypt. Because since Hashem promised that all of those plagues that I placed upon Egypt, I will not place upon you. Because I am Hashem who loves you. I am Hashem who heals you. However, wherever you are, it's so clear to us that this makkah, this plague that the world is now suffering from, and that unfortunately we're suffering with terribly together with the rest of the world, and Hashem should send the refu and yeshua to all those who are sick and keep every single one of us and everybody in the world safe from this makkah. It must be that this makkah is a makkah that has not all of those makkahs that the Tanoim saw in the Makkah of Mitzrayim. And therefore it must be that if it's the night of Pesach, if we're coming to the night of Pesach, it must be that Hashem Yisbarach is going to heal us of this all-inclusive Makkah that's called Corona, that Hashem is going to heal the world of this terrible sickness. And it must be that there's a certain machla, there's a certain sickness, an infection, that has taken over the world. And the time has come for this to be cured. And Hashem Yisbarach is telling us, Kindlech children, my children, I want you to understand this, I want you to grow up. I'm going to bring you a healing. But I want that when I bring you this healing that's coming up, Pesach, I want that the same way that when we left Mitzrayim, it says in the Pasuk, V'achrei chen yetzu b'rechush gadol, that when we left Mitzrayim, we left b'rechush gadol. When we left Mitzrayim, we didn't just walk away the same people that we were when we were in Egypt. It says, V'achrei chen yetzu b'rechush gadol. We took out with us tremendous, tremendous rechush, a tremendous amount of new things from Egypt that we never had before. And now Hashem is going to heal us and the entire world of this makkah, of this makkah which is a makkah of Kol HaMachla Shasanti Mitzrayim. This makkah, which is all of the makkahs there were in Mitzrayim, are all included in this plague of Corona. And when Hashem Yisbarach is going to remove this from us, we're going to come out from this Beruchush Gadol with possessions, with greatness, with a new way of thinking, with a new way of living that we never ever had before. That's what we're going to leave with. So I want to talk about that, Chavrin. I want to talk about that. What's this Rechush Gadol? This is all I've been thinking about, this is all I've been talking about since this started. What is this Rechush Gadol? What can we take? Hashem's going to end it. It's going to be over. It's going to be over. Kol HaMachla Shasanti Mitzrayim. It's going to end, Bez Hashem. But what's the Rechush Gadol? What are we going to leave? What are we going to have gained? What are we going to have inherited? What new possession are we going to take with us when we leave this Mitzrayim of Corona? So let's learn. The beginning of the redemption and the entire redemption is summed up in the words, V'hotzeisi eschem, and I took you out. V'hotzeisi eschem. And ever since then, all of our davening, all of our Yom Tovim, Shabbos, everything goes back to those words. V'hotzeisi eschem, Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now everybody knows that there are 39 melachis, 39 types of work that are forbidden on Shabbos that we learn how from the Mishkan in these recent parashiyos. 39 melachis. And the deepest of all, and the most complicated of all the 39 melachis, is hamoitzi mirishus l'rishus, is the forbidden melacha, the work, of carrying from one domain into another domain. Hamoitzi mirishus l'rishus, to take from the public domain to the private domain, from the rishus haram to the rishus hayachid, from the rishus hayachid, from the private domain to the public domain, the melacha of Haitzah. And the Balei HaTosfos is already the beginning of Masechta Shabbos. And the other Rishonim are asking. It's so odd. All the other melachas, all the other types of work that are forbidden on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, all of those melachas change something in the world. Cause there to be a change in an object. Something happens. Something is different. Something is affected by that type of work, by that malacha. But when it comes to this malacha, this forbidden work on Shabbos, of carrying from one rishus to the other rishus, one domain to the other, nothing is changed. Nothing happens in the world. And the Svarma Kedoshim teach us that the whole inyan of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the whole inyan of Yitzias Mitzrayim, is that when we were in Egypt, we were in the Rishus HaRabim, that world of impurity, the Ervas Haaretz, the ugliness, the filth of the world, Egypt, ancient Egypt. It was the Rishus HaRabim, the public domain, a place of insanity, a place of unbelievable pollution, hashchasa, ugliness, immorality. The Rishus HaRabim, the public domain. And Hashem Mishboch took us out of the Rishus HaRabim. He took us out of that public domain that's called Mitzrayim, Egypt. And he brought us into the Rishus HaYachid of the Yechid HaShalom Echad Yachid HaMiyuchad. He brought us into his private domain. He carried us out from the public domain of Egypt, and he brought us into his intimate circle, into his world, the Rishus HaYachid. And Paro, by that point of Makis Bukharis, of the death of the firstborn, Paro himself said, Kumu tsu'u mitaychami, get up and get out of here. Tzu'u, leave, go away. And the morning came of that first Pesach, and Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, Yotzu Kol Tzivos Hashem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. And it was on that day of the 15th of Nisan, Yotzu Kol Tzivos Hashem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. We finally left that domain, that Rishus HaRabim, the public domain of Egypt, and we were able to enter into the private domain, into the Rishus HaYachid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now what's fascinating is that this melacha, this forbidden labor of carrying from one domain to the other, that this melacha is forbidden on Shabbos, but it's mutter on Yom Tov. It's permitted on Yom Tov to carry from one Rishus to the other Rishus. And the Rambam writes in the first parak of Shvisis Yom Tov, V'loma loy asura. Why is it not forbidden to carry, to transfer, to carry on Yom Tov? V'loma loy asura. And the Rambam writes, "Kedei laharbus besimchas yontif," because Hashem's Baruch wants us to be happy on yontif. And in order to be able to feel free and happy on yontif, v'yavikol ma sheyitzu v'yashlam chafotsev, that by being able to carry, we're able to go from one place to the other and enjoy the freedom of moving things and carrying things from one place to the other. V'loyia kemisha yodav asurais. V'loyia kemisha yodav asurais, so that a Jew shouldn't be like somebody whose hands are tied. Kemisha yodav asurais. To feel that we're imprisoned. So the Rambam is telling us that Simchas Yontif can't allow there to be this isser, this prohibition of carrying from one domain to another, from one rishus to another. The freedom of movement generates a tremendous feeling of simcha, of joy. So we understand that all of Mitzrayim was a big base asur, that all of Egypt was a prison. And over there in Mitzrayim, in that horrible Rishus HaRabim of Mitzrayim, our hands were tied, our hearts were bound, our minds were enslaved by the mentality of that world of Mitzrayim. I can't concentrate like this. We were mamish in the Beis HaAsurim of Egypt. The Beis HaAsurim of Mitzrayim. And therefore, we could all understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyochol carried us from one domain to the other, from one rishus to the other. And ever since that day, Yontif, the Simchas Yontif, is a simcha that is strengthened by our ability to move from one place to the other. And when we go back to the beginning of time, Hashem Yisboch commanded Noach, Tzei min hateva, to leave that teva, that boat. Tzei min hateva. Because that teva, that boat, that teva itself had become a base ha'asura, was itself a prison. In Pnimius, in a deep and mysterious way, Egypt and the Tevas Noach, were both a matzav, were both a situation where at the same time there was containment and imprisonment. It was like the womb of the mother. It was like the mother's womb. All of creation, all that existed, entered into that teva, into that womb of the boat of Noah. All of creation entered into that womb, and somehow during that time of being imprisoned in that place, that somehow the world was being prepared to be born, to come into existence again. And in Mitzrayim, the same thing. In the imprisonment of Mitzrayim, Chazal tell us that it was like being in the womb of the mother. Lakachas loigoy mikerev goy. Lakachas loigoy mikerev goy means that the Gula, Yecheskel HaNavi describes the redemption as birth. Umoldoisayich b'yoyim huledes oisach. The Jewish people were born by Yetzias Mitzrayim. That means that in that womb of Egypt, we somehow were like being in the Mabul, in the waters of the flood. The Maim Rabim, the Maim Zeidonim, whoever is listening on the phone, if I could ask you to please, you have to mute your phone. that the same way that in the Tevis Noach, in the boat of Noach, there was a storm raging outside. And somehow in that womb, in that boat, we were being protected to come into the world and to be born through the Mayim Rabim, the stormy waters. So too in Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu began in that boat, in that little ark, the Teva that carried Moshe Rabbeinu. And we know the root of Moshe Rabbeinu's soul was already found at the time of the flood, at the beginning of time. And then later on, when Moshe Rabbeinu was taken from the water, it says in the Pasuk, Menamayim Mishisu, that the daughter of Paro drew him out. Menamayim Mishisu drew him out from the water. So when the time came for redemption, when time came to be free from that womb of the Teva, from that womb of Egypt, the same way that at the beginning of time, the commandment came from Hashem that said, Tzei min ha-Teva, go out of the boat. It's time for the world to be reborn. So too by Mitzrayim, Kumu tzu mitoich ami. The time came when the Jewish people were born and we left Mitzrayim to become free. In the same way that it was at the beginning of time, when all of creation was in that Teva of Noach and was born. And then by Mitzrayim, the Jewish people were carried in the belly of Egypt. And then finally we were born. There was that Yetzias Mitzrayim. And by the way, it's an interesting thing. It's brought down in the Sfarim that when a woman is in labor and she's going through some difficulties with labor, it helps to say psukim. Those who are davening for her can say psukim from Yetzias Mitzrayim. Different psukim from the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that it helps the process of birth. So the same way that happened with us as a people, as a nation, and with the world at the beginning of time, so too each individual person has his own Meitzarim, has his own borders and boundaries, his own time that he's kept in prison. And there are some Jews who are struggling, like we learned in the Rambam, that a person's hands are sometimes chained. So, you know, the word Yadav, those words, Yadav Asuros, that the hands are tied, those words, like it's explained in Tanya and other places, we say every morning the Baruch of Matir Asurim, that there are people whose lives are bound to doing things that they would rather not do. Whether it's a type of an addiction, or there are habits, there are Isurim in life, there are things that are forbidden to us by the Torah that one should not do. And every one of us has our own personal Meitzarim, our own personal Mitzrayim, that was stuck in that place of Mitzrayim. Every one of us has Meitzarim in life. Even, by the way, even in Kedusha, even in the holiness, the Sfarim tell us, sometimes you have a person who's an unbelievably scrupulous, careful observer of halacha, and he keeps every single, as we all have to, he keeps every single din and every single law and every single detail of every single law, he keeps in the most careful way. But the problem is that as a result of this, somehow he has become imprisoned in a certain way of life that's not allowing him, or he's not using Yiddishkeit in such a way to grow, to develop as a person. This doesn't mean that chas v'chalila, a person doesn't have to be careful with all of halacha. Every one of us has to observe every single halacha, every single din. But the same way that teva means a boat, and there was that teva of Noach, and there was that teva, that boat of Moshe Rabbeinu, the word teva also means words. And there are tevas, there are words of the Gemara, there are words of Shulchan Aruch. Somebody was just telling me a very sweet thing on Erev Shabbos. One of the Chevra called me, before Shabbos in Yerushalayim, he called me to say that even though it's so hard to be away from shul, it's so hard for him to be away from shul, as it is for all of us. And his entire adult life, he's davening with a minyan. But he said, but I have to tell you, Rabbi, that in a certain way, I've never enjoyed davening as much in my life. Because I'm not rushing to keep up with the Baal Tefillah. I'm not imprisoned by the words and the pace that the words are being said in shul. I'm taking my time and I'm concentrating on certain parts of the davening more than others. I'm davening slowly. I'm singing certain nagunim that normally I would never ever sing because I can't sing and people around me would get terribly annoyed. And I told him that I'm careful even when I'm davening at home not to sing too loud because my wife would get annoyed because I can't carry a tune and somebody might hear it someplace else in the house. But there's a certain freedom. There's a certain freedom from the words. It doesn't mean, God forbid, not to daven in a minyan. And it doesn't mean that, God forbid, that we're not bound to every single word. I think that you will understand what I'm saying. We're taught in Navi, and Chazal revealed to us, that there's a light of Mashiach, there's a Torah of Mashiach. And that Torah of Mashiach means that every single word in the Torah is shining with a new light. And a Jew doesn't feel that his Yiddishkeit is one that imprisons him. He's not imprisoned by the words of the Siddur. The words of the Siddur are sweet to him. He's not imprisoned by that din in Shulchan Aruch. He observes that halacha because it gives him life, because it liberates him. So everybody, every one of us lives in Meitzarim, in boundaries. And there's a Beis HaAsurim, there's a prison that we're in this world. Sometimes it's a prison of impurity. As I said before, there are those who are stuck in dangerous habits and self-destructive habits. There are those who are simply doing things that we shouldn't be doing. Isurim, prohibitions, and so on. But to one degree or another, we're all stuck. And here's where we come to the Simcha of Yontif. To the Simcha of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Simchas Yontif. You know, that all of the Yom Tovim, Azeich L'Yitzias Mitzrayim, are to bring us back to when we were freed and we left Mitzrayim. All the Yom Tovim. And in certain ways, many of the mitzvahs, where it says explicitly in Torah, Azeich L'Yitzias Mitzrayim. But especially, especially when it comes to Pesach itself. Pesach is Yitzias Mitzrayim. And because Pesach is Yitzias Mitzrayim, we can understand that the Simcha of Yom Tov is to be free. To be free. As the Rambam says, that we carry on Yontif from one place to another because on Yontif we're unbound. We're not stuck in the Teva. We're not stuck in the Ark. We're not stuck in the boat. We're not stuck in the womb of Mitzrayim. We're free. And to be free means that one, to be able to have Simcha, to be able to be filled with joy, it means to be free. But the Baruch Shalom wanted that every year before leaving Mitzrayim, and together with Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Baruch Shalom wanted that there should be Shabbos HaGadol. Shabbos HaGadol. And everybody knows that the entire Kedusha of Shabbos, the entire holiness of Shabbos, also goes back to Bereishis, the Zeich L'mayis of Bereishis, but it's also Zeich L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. The whole Shabbos is rooted in Yetzias Mitzrayim as well. So here we have to ask the obvious question, and it's not my question. I saw this question asked in the teachings of one of the great Mashpiyim of our generation, Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg Shlita. And he asked, Shabbos, sof kol sof, Shabbos, Haitzah is forbidden. On Shabbos, we're not allowed to carry from one domain to the other. That means that on Shabbos, it would seem that our hands are tied. If Yontiv means, if Yetzias Mitzrayim means being free, I'm free to be myself. I'm free to serve Hashem. I'm free from quarantine. I'm free from bidud, from loneliness. I'm free from isolation. I'm free from social distancing. I'm free to go and to run and to be and to move and to jump and to breathe. I'm free on Yontif because I left Mitzrayim. I left the teva. I left the tevos. I'm free. But Shabbos is the root of our entire existence. And Shabbos is Zechlis Yisrael. But the whole Masechta Shabbos begins with Yitzias HaShabbos. Meaning the Gemara Shabbos, the mission of Shabbos begins with the prohibition of Yitzias HaShabbos. Of moving, of carrying from one domain to another. And if the Masechta begins with Yitzias HaShabbos, it means that the essence of Shabbos, is the prohibition of Haitzah. Is the Isser, the prohibition of, that restricts our movement, our carrying, our being able to go from one place to another. And to move things from one place to another. So how could that be? The whole Simcha of a Jew is to be free. That's all that we're davening for, Chevy, right now. Each one of us, we feel this in a certain way. It's not like it was in Egypt. It's not like it was in Auschwitz, or Treblinka, or Mauthausen, or in the Warsaw Ghetto, or the Lodz Ghetto. It's not. Chas v'chalila. It's not. But we're also waiting to hear Tzeim and Hateva, Kumu Tzu'u, get up and leave. Go out again. You're free. Your hands are unfettered, untied. Your legs are untied. Your heart, your mind, everything is free. So how could it be that Shabbos, Davka begins, the Masechta, the Gemara begins with Yitzias HaShabbos, with the prohibition of Haitzah, of carrying from one domain to the other on Shabbos. How could that be? What happens to our freedom? What happens to our Simcha? So if Ginsberg explains by applying a very big Yisaidis thought in the Sifrei Chassidus and is deeply rooted in the Rambam in Hilchos Shvi'is Yontiv and the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos in the 30th parak, the Iker Inyan of Yontiv is Simcha. Mo'adam leSimcha. Not just Zman Simcha Seinu. Zman Cheru Seinu as well. The aside of Yontiv in Halacha is Simcha. Is joy. Simcha's Yontiv. But the aside of Shabbos, the essence of Shabbos in Halacha and in Pnimius, the essence of Shabbos is not joy. As a matter of fact, there's a very interesting discussion, Rishonim, Achronim, whether Bechlal there's a din of Simcha on Shabbos, but it's not for now. Yom Simchaschem implies that there is, but the Yisod of Shabbos is not Simcha. The Yisod of Yontif is Simcha. The Yisod of Shabbos is what, Chavra? Oinig. Oinig means delight. Now, what that is exactly with eating and other things, we're not going into right now. That's the Rambam in the 30th parak. But the yisoid of Shabbos is oinig. What's the difference between simcha and oinig? And the reason I want to talk about that right now is because even though in some way we feel that our simcha is being restricted, but our oinig, in many ways, our oneg, the potential of oneg, has never been greater. And that oneg itself is the Shabbos HaGadol oneg that's going to bring us into the simcha of the greatest Pesach that there ever was since Yitzias Mitzrayim. Pesach Tov Shin Pei. What's the difference between simcha and oneg? The Baal Tanya and other tzaddikim explain that the emotion of joy, of simcha, gila, rina, ditza, chedva, but the emotion of simcha, of joy, is one that brings hispashtus. It's a liberating emotion. It's an emotion, it's a feeling that's misgala. It has to be externalized. It's chalishing, it's longing for an expression in reality. The nature of simcha is that it's pirates together. When a person is in a state of simcha, he could do anything. It breaks down barriers. Because since he's free, the prison door was opened. That simcha is simcha v'spashtas. And espashtas means movement. It means motivation. It means birth, as we spoke about before. It means giving birth. Something changes. Something's happening. That's what simcha is. The very nature of simcha is going out, leaving. Even the smile that comes to a person's face. Even when you hear a good joke, it's so good that you can't hold back from laughing. There's an escape that takes place. There's something that is free. There's something that is liberated as a result of joy. Simcha means Yitzias Mitzrayim, going out. And therefore we understand, as the Rambam tells us, that on Yontif, we're permitted to carry from one domain to the other. Because simcha means that one cannot be held back. That one cannot be restricted and held back. The very nature of joy is movement, expression, excitement. That's the very nature of simcha. Oynig, however, we're taught in Chassidus that oynig is something, is an emotion that is a tchusha pnimis. That means that it's a deeply internalized emotion. It's something that a person feels within himself. A delight, a satisfaction of being who I want to be and where I want to be. That no one else has to notice or see. It's something which is quiet. It's internal. It's deep. It's a pnimistic feeling. That's the world of Shabbos. In Chassidus, we're taught that simcha, the joy of Yontif, and the emotion of joy is called moichin de'ima, the awareness that is feminine, a mother's awareness. And Eim HaBonim Semecha means, the Eim HaBonim Semecha means that emotion of giving birth, the nature of a woman who, through the course of time, goes through changes and phases, like the moon, going out. Eim HaBonim Semecha, Hispashtas. And therefore the character trait of Ima, of the mother, is Bina. Bina means a lashon of binyan, of building. Bina, that intuitive wisdom, which is called Bina, is binyan, and binyan means building. And building means, in Chassidus, that there's oirach, there's roich, it means to build something, to construct something. Inside the mother's womb, the fetus begins to take shape and form. Eim habonim semecha, binyan, building, hispashtas, movement and change. That's the quality that's called moichin de'ima. Therefore, the letter hey, which is the feminine letter hey, which many names of women have, and in Hebrew grammar is the feminine letter. The letter hey is a letter that itself has hispashtas. That the letter has that open space at the bottom, the hey. And it's open, the letter hey, hispashtas. Even breathing, is that movement of the self, hispashtas of the letter hey. And when you're laughing, you're going ha ha, and hey, it's all a lot of hispashtas, of leaving, of going out. Oineg, on the other hand, so that's simcha, that's joy. On the other hand, oineg, is called Moichin De'Ab. It's the male awareness. Thank you. Shkai. Moichen is Moichen de Abba, the male awareness. And the male awareness of Einig means, like the letter Yud, when something is inside. Women, for women, it's much easier, generally speaking, to express themselves, to speak, to converse, to communicate. That comes together with the hispashtus, that movement of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of Simcha. The male quality is, Moichen Da'abe is the Yud, the letter Yud. And the letter Yud means something which is closed in within itself. Oineg means something which is internalized, the deepest pleasure, but not one that I can explain to you, not one that I can express, not one that I could talk about, not one that shows up necessarily on my face so that you could see in any kind of an expression, an emotion, and so on. Therefore, we understand that since the essence of Yontif is Simcha, is joy, Simchas Yontif requires movement, Em Habonim Simecha, giving birth, Yitzia, going out, moving, that one's not tied, one's not bound. Therefore, on Yontif, the Simcha of Yontif is Davke, expressed through Haitzah, moving from one place to the other, as the Rambam says, and the way that we began. His Rachavus, expansiveness, and his Spashtus, that's Yontif. That's Yontif. But the side, the secret of Einik Shabbos is something else. Einik Shabbos, the Baruch Shalom says, I want you to be in the Rishus HaYochid. I want you to be in one Rishus. I want you to be in that place. I want you to be in a place, the place that you're in. And I want you to be able, Davke, to be able to feel that I don't have to move anywhere. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to be any place else. And I don't feel that I'm imprisoned in my own house. I don't feel that I'm imprisoned with my own wife and children. I don't feel that I'm imprisoned, even though it's so hard over time. But I don't feel on Shabbos, Adrabba. The meaning of Shabbos is, the Torah says, Al yetzei ish mim kaimer b'yom hashvi. By Shabbos, the oinig of Shabbos is being home. The oinig of Shabbos is Al yetzei ish mim kaimer b'yom hashvi. Don't leave your place on the seventh day. And therefore, when it comes to Shabbos, we have a tchum Shabbos. There's a boundary of Shabbos. Not going to the din of tchum b'yontiv. The tchum Shabbos, the boundary of Shabbos, is saying that the same way that Masechta Shabbos begins with the Mishnah Yitzias HaShabbos, with the prohibition of Haitzor Merishus to Rishus, of transferring, of carrying from one domain to the other. And how does that define the very nature, the very essence of Shabbos? Because if the Masechta begins with that, it means that it's defining the essence of what Shabbos is. Because we understand that the whole thing of Shabbos is that I don't have to go away in order to be happy. I don't have to go anywhere else. I don't have to be anyplace else. You know, everybody's talking about, you know, what's been going on. There were Jews that they meant well, but they felt that they were being moisa nefesh, that they were being moisa nefesh to go daven outside with other people when every doctor and every posik was saying that you're not allowed to. They're being moisa nefesh to go out and to be with others. And unfortunately, they weren't hearing the voice of Hashem that's saying now, I want mysterious nefesh from you. I want sacrifice. I want you to work at something. But what I want you to work at is oinig, that deep delight of being able to be in the place that you're in that place that you're in, and to be misamek in the depths of that place that you're in that place that you're in, which is called Shabbos, in that Rishus HaYochid that you're in, to be able to grow, to be able to explode, to be able to find your own voice, your own individuality, to find yourself in that place. The Mesiris Nefesh is Davka one of letting go of having to be everywhere in the world, letting go of having to run from one place to the other. Even letting go, Hashem is saying, for this time, letting go of davening with other people together and being in other places and going to the normal kinds of things that we go to, even things of Kedusha, even to the yeshiva, even to the Beis Medrash, and to the shul, and to a simcha, to a mitzvah, to a chasna, to a bris, lo aleinu, to a shiva. I want you now to come inside. I want you to come inside. And I want you for the first time in many, many years to find an oinek Shabbos in your lives. In order to explain this, I'm going to just share with you something that I spoke to you about once by one of the boys, one of the bar mitzvahs of one of our chavri years ago on a Shabbos morning. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing that is the nature of a human being. It's the nature of almost everybody. It's human nature to enjoy very much going out, traveling, seeing new places, going away. And even if a person lives in the most beautiful home, Baruch Hashem, in our community here, they're mostly very, very nice and comfortable homes. Not everybody has the schus, or is able to, but to afford that, but mostly they're comfortable homes. There was a Jew, Shimi Ben Gera, there's no time to go into the story now, but Shimi Ben Gera was not allowed to leave the place that he lived in. He lived in Yerushalayim, in a palace. He wasn't allowed to leave. And he was told by Shlomo Melech that if he leaves, he's going to die. And nevertheless, he couldn't bear staying in his palace. In other words, he had a beautiful home in the five towns, in Muncie, in Monroe, in Bergen County, in Yerushalayim. He had a palace in Yerushalayim, Shimi Ben Gera. But the nature of a human being is, from the time the man was made, that if he is told you have to be quarantined, like Shimi Ben Gera, if you're told that you must remain in a certain place, and you're not allowed to go out of that chum, you can't leave that place, your dalet amos, your four cubits, you can't leave that place, even though that place is, the cabinets are filled, and you have all the comforts of your own home. All you've ever been dreaming about at work all these years is being home. All you've ever dreamed about when you were away is, I want to be home. I want to be home. Or like the end of The Wizard of Oz, there's no place like home. That's all that we've ever dreamed about. Nevertheless, the nature of the human being is that when you're told that you must be in a place, when you're held in quarantine in that place, you mamish go out of your kelim, you can go out of your mind. You can go out of your mind. This is even without all of the homework and trying to think of things for, you know, trips for the kids to take, you know, from one part of the Dira to the other part of the Dira. Can you imagine? And it's just so we have very, very small apartments. A person simply can't be kept in one place. It's not the nature of a human being. One of our kids used to cry a lot when she was a baby. She was a big crier. And one of the only times I was able to get her to stop crying is I would just get in the car and take rides with her. I would drive around with her. And whether it was the engine, but she would be looking all over the place and to see outside. It's the nature of a human being. Where does that come from? So the Teretz says, the Gemara says in Chagiga Daf Yud Aleph, the Gemara tells us, Adam Harishon, Hayim Misayif HaOlam Ad Saifa. That Adam Harishon was Misayif HaOlam Ad Saifa. Now, it obviously does not mean something physical. It doesn't mean that he was so fat, that he was so wide. But the Gemara says that the primal state of man, the beginning of Adam, of man, was that he was Misayif HaOlam Ad Saifa. That somehow he crossed over all of creation. He filled all of creation. Misayfar lemat sayfar. As a result of the chait, as a result of the sin, nismato kemasai. As a result of that, Adam, man, shrunk and became regular like now. Adam shrunk. And the Sfarim tell us it doesn't mean that Adam was cut up into small pieces. It means that Hashem Yisbarach took that entire Misayfa Ilim Va'at Saifa, that entire universe, because Adam Rishon was Misayfa Ilim Va'at Saifa, that means that Adam Rishon was all worlds. The expansiveness, the breadth of all worlds. That Hashem took that expansiveness, that breadth of Adam and Rishon, and he was Metzamtzem, he shrunk it, he squeezed it into a Jew that's an average of 5'8.5". Or 5'7", a girl, 5'5", whatever. And Hashem put that into a person, maybe a non-Jew that's 6 foot, and a Jew that's 5'7", or 5'8". Hashem took that bigness, that greatness, that breadth of Adam and Rishon, and Hashem squeezed it into a human being of regular dimensions. But that means that the teva of man, within the nature of man, there is this unbelievable misoifar, ulumat soifar, that remains within the person. I gotta get out of this teva that I'm in. Even though it's a nice teva, even though everything is taken care of, even though it's great, it's beautiful, it's even luxurious. But the simcha of a person, like we see by Yontav, the simcha of a person is Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hispashtus, moving, getting out, being chofshi, being free, not being bound, not being contained. Being contained in one place causes tremendous yesurim, tremendous suffering, as it's causing for people now. Tremendous pain, tremendous suffering, tremendous challenge to Shalom Bayis, to all kinds of things, whatever's going on in the world, everywhere in the world, Hashem brought such a thing, it's unbelievable. But here's where we have an unbelievable chiddush, is where we come to Shabbos HaGadol, HaGadol Shabbos HaGadol, and Pesach Tav Shin Pei. So Hashem is doing something amazing, and this is what I can't stop thinking about. Because the Gemara tells us that the Goyv are the height of Adam Rishon. Again, how this works out with the two opinions, we're not going into right now. Chagiga Yud Aleph. That the Goyv are the height of Adam Rishon was Min Ha'aretz Ad HaShemayim, from the earth all the way to the highest heavens. That's the second opinion. And that means that just as man has within him this desperate need to move horizontally, to be mispashed, to expand, to conquer new places, to see new places, new sights, to be mispashed, to be free, to move from one rishus to another rishus, from one domain to another domain. Just as that's woven into the fabric of man, and man is programmed from his very creation, and even after Adam sinned, that's still contained within man, that need for the freedom of movement, for his spashtus. So too, there's something much deeper that was woven into the fabric of man, that's programmed in man. There's something much deeper, it's called Shabbos. It's called Shabbos, and because of that, the greatest einig that a person can have, the greatest einig that a person can have, is not moving horizontally, but moving vertically. And moving vertically means, like in the beautiful words of Rav Kook that was made into a beautiful song, Alei Lamala Alei, Alei Lamala Alei, Ben Adam, Alei Lamala Alei, Alei lamala alei ben adam, alei lamala alei. And the meaning of alei lamala alei means yesh lecha kanfei ruach, kanfei neshama abirim. That man was created with a height from earth all the way to the highest heavens. That means that it's possible for a person in the place that he's in, in the place that he's in, that a person is able to be like the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. Regarding the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash, the Pasuk says, Min HaMikdash lo yetze, not to leave the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rambam writes in Klei HaMikdash, Perakei, Ubayis Yeloi Muchan B'Mikdash, the Kohen Gadol had a home in the Beis HaMikdash, a place in the Beis HaMikdash. Via Nikris Lishkas Kohen Gadol, that was called the office or the place, the headquarters of the Kohen Gadol. And the glory, the honor and the glory of the Kohen Gadol was to live in that place in the Mikdash, kol hayom, the entire day. He would only go home at night, or an hour or two during the day. His house was in the Beis HaMikdash, and the home that he lived in also with his family was in Yerushalayim, and he never left that place. So we think, Gevalt, what a rachmanis on the Kohen Gadol, what a Beis HaKela, what a jail, what a prison, what a Beis HaSum he lived in. But the Rambam tells us, just the opposite, the Rambam tells us, that this was Kvoido V'Sefarato, this was the greatest covet, this was the greatest honor and the greatest glory of the Kohen Gadol, that he lived in the Beis HaMikdash, that he lived in Yerushalayim. That was his greatest kavod. Because the teferis of a person is chevra. These past 10, 20 years, ever since technology really took off, and this is not an anti-technology rant, if not for technology, we wouldn't be having the shiur right now. And if not for Zoom and all these things, what would be with the Torah learning? And we're learning unbelievable things in Kedusha that this could be used for. Unbelievable things. But ever since the technological revolution began in earnest, and really this goes back to the Industrial Revolution, but ever since this began in earnest years ago, when this started, mankind became obsessed with moving sideways. The Misoif Ha'olam Va'at Soifei, the moving around, the movement became a movement where a person simply, even when he's in his own space, he can't be in that place. He has to be Misoif Ha'olam Va'at Soifei. He has to know everything that's happening in the world. I was telling one of my kids, don't listen anymore to the news. Stop listening to the death count. Stop listening. I know we have to know what's going on, and we have to get the bulletins about all the safety things and the medical things. I get it. Of course, you have to know. But that list of the Malach HaMavris that's been coming in every day, Hashem Yirachem, it's terrible, it's terrible. That need that began some years ago, that need to constantly be moving, to be moving horizontally, To be able to always be everywhere in the world at the same time, that in many ways has brought tremendous excitement and simcha and huge advances and all the good things also. All the good things which we celebrate. It's gewaldig. All the good things. But at the same time, the Nekuda of Shabbos, the nekuda of a person who's able to have an oinig, the deepest oinig, just curling up on the couch Friday night with a good geshmak seife, with a, if you like, a hot tea, or if it's me, something cold, and with those 1, 2, 3 people in your life that are in your teva with you, that are your teva. And I'm not going into the anti-Pesach program thing, but what's the Baruch Shalom talking to us? Try to understand his language, that no one could have ever dreamt of such a way to bring every Jew home. I know it's terrible because there are so many elderly people who are going to be by themselves Pesach, and we are crying for them. And there are so many almanas There are so many women who are alone and men who are alone. And there are bachrum who got stranded. And there are singles, the singles. Jewish men and women, holy Jewish men and women who are not married, who are quarantined and not even able to have the luxury of being with a chevra. And what about all of the Jews that were going to be by Chabad Seders this year, all over the world? I remember reading that they have, like in India, they have in these places, in Thailand, in Tibet, they have a Seder. The Chabadskis make a Seder with 1,000 Jews. What's going to be with these Jews? What's going to be? I don't know. And our hearts are broken. Because right now the Baruch Shalom said, Chevra, maspik. Maspik, you've been moving sideways for so many years. And you've stopped growing. Vertically. Min ha'eretz, min ha'aretz, ad ha'shamayim, from the earth to the heaven. Shabbos ha'gadol, that's the godless of a person. So now we understand, let's try to come in to the end. Now we understand that there are two b'chinis of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There are two aspects to Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's the Yetzir l'merchav. When I made sa kerosika anani, ba'merchavka. The Yetzias Mitzrayim l'merchav means merchavim, another poem by Rav Kook, not really a poem, yeah, it is a poem. Merchavim, merchavim, expanses, a beautiful poem from Rav Kook. There's that going out of Egypt. There's the leaving of the womb. There's going out of the teva. There's going out of the tevos. There's being born. There's moving. There's the excitement of traveling. There's going from Egypt and heading towards the Yam Suf, and then moving through the ocean and going through the ocean and heading to Har Sinai. And from Har Sinai, moving with our bags, with all of our stuff, and heading to Yerushalayim, b'tzeisim in Mitzrayim, leaving Mitzrayim and coming to Yerushalayim. That's one aspect of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Leaving the Rishus, leaving the domain that imprisons, that confines, that holds us back, and being able to go out of Mitzrayim. The end of that journey is coming soon. That's part of Achrei Chen Yetzir B'chush Golub, because after this Chevra, we're going to get ready to go to Yerushalayim. I must tell you, one of the women from Eish Kodesh left me a message this week that I already listened to 3 times. And she said it absolutely seriously. She was a little bit nervous because she's so unbelievably busy preparing for Pesach and with all the kids home and trying to do their homework and schooling, whatever, and everything that's going on. She's so excited about Mashiach. She was telling me on the message, Rabbi, I'm nervous. Does it say anywhere how much time we're going to be given to pack and to get ready to leave? Because she feels it. She feels in her bones, as I do, that the Achrei Chen Yetzir B'chush Gadol, that movement of Anani Bamerchavka, that movement of Misaifa Ilamad Saifai, that movement, it's going to happen, Chevra. We're leaving. We're going to be going soon. I had a message on Erev Shabbos from another one of the women, the Nashim Sakanias from the Shul. So she's been leaving me the most beautiful message every one of these Erev Shabbos is to give me chizik. And she left me this message. And I want to tell you something, because maybe you're listening. Each one of the messages was, I think, 3 minutes and 19 seconds. Just exactly. Well, the last 2 for sure. I have to check the one before. She left me a message. And the message she was saying, Rebbe, I really feel this is it. I don't have my tambourine, but I feel that we're getting ready to go. Like Miriam with a tambourine, right? I don't have it. So I left a message back and I said, what's the matter? You don't belong to Amazon? You can't order a tambourine? What's wrong with you? Of course you have to have a tambourine. Of course you have to have it. And I just said that, like, you know, a little bit, you know, just a little bit to joke. And then a few minutes later, she left me a message. She said, Rabbi, they're coming on, I think she said Wednesday or Thursday. She was hoping to have it by Erev Yontem. She said, I ordered for myself and for my kids. We all got tambourines. We're getting ready to go. So listen. V'achrei chen. We're moving. We're going to be moving sideways. We're not going to need to swipe. We're not going to need to do that to go to Yerushalayim. We're not going to have virtual koso. We're going to have the real base of Mikdash. It's happening. We're going to be moving sideways. That's the first aspect of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's happening. Mitzvah Hashem, that's part of the Ruchosh Gadol. But this is the second aspect of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's a second bechina of Yetzias Mitzrayim, a second aspect. Because everybody here knows that when Hashem's Baruch took us out, it says, Ve'esa eschem, how? Al kan finisher. Ve'esa eschem al kan finisher, v'av yeschem elai. I took you out on eagle's wings. Chevra the Baruch Shalom is telling us, I missed the time that you were able to sit in one place and to fly like an eagle and to soar. I missed that time of Alei Lamala Alei, Ben Adam Yesh Lecha Kanfei Ruach, Kanfei Nishar Ma'biyum, you have eagle's wings. When Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, He didn't just move us sideways. He lifted us up. Ve'esa Eschem Al Kanfei Nishar, He lifted us up to a different Mitzias, a different reality. You know, Bar Chassidim, we have a legend that we believe in. And there's actually a Masorah by the Sekelet Tzaddikim, because they lived, they had Arichas Yomim, and there was only a few generations that they saw the Be'er Mayim Chayim Sluisi Aleinu. Now everybody knows, I'll be finished in 5 minutes, everybody knows that the Be'er Mayim Chayim, his whole union in the world was Shabbos. He wrote the Siddur Shal Shabbos, a whole Sefer on Shabbos. Shabbos by the Be'er Mayim Chayim is Murdik by the Be'er Mayim Chayim Shabbos. So the Chassidim say that it was known, and they used to see, that Erev Shabbos Friday, when the Be'er Mayim Chayim, when he would come out from the mikveh, the Be'er Mayim Chayim was a head taller. Was a head taller when he came out from the mikveh. He was a head taller. So they asked this of old tzaddikim who's heard from their grandfathers, and I heard that from the Sekelet that this is it true that the Be'er Mayim Chayim was a head taller when he came out from the mikveh to get ready for Shabbos, Erev Shabbos? And the tzaddikim said, we can't say that he was a head taller, but this much we saw, that the person who went into the mikveh was not the same person who came out from the mikveh. It wasn't the same person, the one who went into the mikveh. That's exactly what it says in the Navi B'Mashiach Tzekeinu. Hine yaskil avdi. Hashem has his servant who's going to come with Eliyahu Navi any day now to take us out. And hine yaskil avdi. And how does the Navi describe Mashiach Tzekeinu? Yaskal Avdi. The greatness of my servant is what? Yoram v'niso v'gova ma'od. Mashiach is described as gova ma'od. He is very exalted. He is very tall. Gova ma'od. Gova ma'od. The question that Hashem is asking each and every Jew, Shabbos HaGadol, Matzah Shabbos HaGadol, Erev Pesach Tov Shin Pei. Are you going to leave this Pesach of Tav Shin Pei, this quarantine of Tav Shin Pei, this corona of Tav Shin Pei, are you going to leave this only sideways and return to that frantic movement to sign up in advance to get a deal on next year's Pesach program and to move more and more sideways, just worrying about that Misayfa L'Masayfa? But you're going to be the same height that you always were. The same pathetic, puny, small person that has no deep earning in life. That can't spend a week or two or three or a month or two in the house with the people who you swear that you love more than anybody else. The people who mean everything to you in life. That you can't be left with your own thoughts, with your own emotions. You have no earning left in you for that point of the yud. Of what? Of that Gova, that height of Adam Arishan, who was from the earth all the way up to the highest heavens, who might have left Egypt sideways, but you never ever jumped onto the eagle's wings that took us higher, higher and higher. Lord, get me higher. The Achrei Chen Yetzu B'Chosh Gadol of Tav Shin Pei is Hashem is going to give us Mashiach. He's going to give us Yerushalayim. He's going to give us the Beis HaMikdash. He's going to give us the Kohen Gadol. He's going to give us back Nevuah. He's going to give us the Urim V'Tumim. He's going to give us back all of those who left us. All of those who died are going to be returned with Tchias HaMeisim. He's going to give us back everything that was taken from us. And the whole world we're going to move in Kulam Yedu I see. V'yed v'yom ad yom. From one ocean to the other ocean. And we're all going to go Shechem Echad to return horizontally. To move, to leave our places, to throw our, not going to need to go with our phones virtually. We're going to go to Yerushalayim.
But for Achrei Kain Yetzir B'chush Gadol of Tav Shin Pei means that Hashem Mizbuch is getting us ready to greet Mashiach. And He wants that when we pass before Mashiach and we look at His beautiful eyes, that He's going to be able, that tall, exalted one is going to be able to look at us in the eyes and to know that we left Corona, we left Tav Shin Pei, Pesach Tav Shin Pei, as taller Jews. A head taller, or not the same that we came into Corona, not the same that we came into Pesach Tav Shin Pei, not the same. Not just for a week or two. Not just all the nice poems to put together, the albums and books. As I was saying to my granddaughter this morning, that when you're going to be an old woman, you're going to tell your grandchildren that there was this thing that was called Corona, craziness. You're not going to believe what it was like. You're not going to believe what it was like. I'll end with this story. I know it's late, but I'm not insulted if you leave, because the only ones who are here are Shani, my wife, and Lani. That's it. So I don't know who's leaving, I don't know who left. But we have to start cleaning for Pesach. But I'll end with this story. The Heilige Yitav Leif, the Yitav Leif of Hanania, Yontiv, Lippe, Teitelbaum, the Yitav Leif was the grandfather of the Satan Rav Schusigerlein, the Sigter of Ish Kodesh V'Noira, a holy Jew. One of his sons was Rav Moshe Yosef from Iel, from Uhel. Those who were zeich to be together with us on the trip to Hungary, you remember we went to see the Yismach Moshe, and we were there in Uyel, Iel. This Tzaddik, the son of the Yitav Leiv, of the Sigeter, this son's name was Rav Moshe Yosef from Iel. His father, the Tzaddik, was Nifter. I believe it was Vav Elul, and his father was Nifter. And Rav Moshe Yosef couldn't come to himself. He mamish couldn't come to himself. He was so tzibrach. And the tzaddik Moshe Yosef, he kept on davening. He said, Rav Moshe Shalom, it's a week away from Rosh Hashanah now. I'm sure the Rosh Hashanah I'll come back to myself. I'll find the joy. I'll find. Came Rosh Hashanah. Tzibrach, and he was broken. He said, maybe by Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. No, Sukkos. Sukkos. Simchas Yontif, Simchas Torah. He couldn't come to himself. He just couldn't get over the loss of his father. He couldn't. And he was zeichet to be able to say Kaddish, you understand. And he couldn't get over the loss of his father. So he made up his mind that he was going to go to Shiniva. And in Shiniva was the Divrei Chesed, the Heilige Shiniva Rav, Schusi Yehilo, Rav Chaskel Shiniva, the son of the Divrei Chaim, Schusi Yehilo. And he came there to Rav Chaskel Shiniva, and he was hoping that maybe Brother Tzaddik, I'll be able to somehow come back to myself. And when he came there for Shabbos, Rav Chaskel Shiniva said an unbelievable thing. We say in the Zmiris Friday night from the Ari HaKadosh, which I just said last night. We all said last night. Navid lohain kisrin v'milin yakirin. Some say natar lohain, some say navid lohain. Most say navid lohain kisrin v'milin yakirin. That means Hashem, we're going to make for you a crown. B'milin yakirin, with our beautiful words of Zmiris. Navid lohain kisrin, we're going to make crowns for you. Nasev nishma, we're going to make crowns for you with our milin yakirin, with our beautiful words of Zmiris. We're going to make you a crown. So B'chazkel Shiniv, it was Friday night in Shiniv, and Moshe Yosef was standing there. And Chaskel Shiniva looked into his heart and he saw the broken heart. And Chaskel Shiniva said, Navid Lahain Kisrin B'milin Yakirin. He explained, Yakirin means precious words, but in Hebrew, Yakir or Aramaic, Yakirin means something which is heavy, kaved.
heavy. Like Moshe's arms, Yakirin means heavy, very heavy. And Rav Chasla Shinida says that sometimes a person, for a person to be able to say a kriyishma, a word of davening, it's so heavy. It's so hard for him because he's going through such suffering, he's going through such difficulties. And then Rav Chasla Shinida said a marshal of a crown, that the whole beauty of the crown is not only because of the precious gems, but because of the empty spaces and the little pieces of glass, so you could see the reflection of one stone and the other stone, and that makes the crown so beautiful. And then Rav Chasla Shinida said, Erei zech ibezai
means that when a Jew tears himself apart, Erei zech ibezai, when he tears himself apart, to be misgaber, to overcome all the difficulties he's going through, all the hardships, all the sadness, Erei zech ibezai. And he repeated this 50 times, that he tears himself apart to continue serving Hashem despite all of his sadness and difficulties, despite all the challenges, 50 times, Erei zech ibezai. He said, Na'av elohim kishrin yakirin. Those are the most precious crowns that a Jew can make for Hashem, when he tears himself apart to be an Eved Hashem, where things are not easy. Na'avad lohen kishrin. That is the crown, Reb Chasla said, that no angel, no malach, kese yitnu lecha, no angel can make such a crown. Only a Jew down here in this world, who's sometimes cut by those pieces of glass, only a Jew in this world can make Na'avad lohen kishrin, the milin yakirin, when life has become heavy, when Yiddishkeit has become heavy, when we don't have the usual joy and pleasure of being able to be the way that we want, and when there's so much pressure financially, emotionally, medically, and we're hearing so much news that's not good news, and it's hard for us, Davka now, we are preparing a crown without davening the yechidus, with the yontif that we're going to make, those of you who are just with your two or three family members, or if you're zechid to have larger families, those of you who are stranded by yourselves, and I know, and I've been speaking to many of you, who are stranded by yourselves, and you're going to be sitting there by the Seder, and you're going to feel so tiny, you're going to feel so unbelievably quarantined and small. Hashem is saying, in a few days, we're going to meet Mashiach, who's so tall. And we feel so small and quarantined. And those words are going to be coming out to be, how are you going to say, Manishtana? We never dreamt that what we learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara, that it was going to actually be, that you're going to have to ask yourself the four kashas. Even in concentration camp, there were other people you could ask the four kashas. And there are going to be many, many Jews this year are going to be asking themselves the four kashas. And who are going to be singing themselves Dayenu and Chagag Yechad Miyadeya. And you're going to feel that these words are so heavy. These words are so hard to get out of the mouth. And you're going to be thinking about how early Pesach's years, all the years of Pesach, you were here and you were there. And how desperately you miss your friends and your family. How desperately you miss being free. Remember, Avno Kishin B'mil Nyakir, that this crown is the crown that's going to be placed onto the head of Melech HaMashiach. The crown that's being made Pesach Toshin Pei, with the heavy hearts and the heavy words of Jews who are lonely but never alone. Lonely but never alone. This will never ever happen again, Chas V'Chalil. Every Pesach from now on, we're going to be together with all the people that we love. And we're going to be back in the chaburis of the Karban Pesach. And we're going to be back where Yerushalayim is going to be. The streets are going to be so packed, so packed. And we're going to be trying to figure out how to find a Dalet Amos in the Rishus Harabim of Yerushalayim. That's what we're going to be busy with next year. B'tzur Hashem soon. We should be zoyche to go al kant finish in good health. There should be service tarvis, refuas, yeshuas, nechamas, lon and lokar Yisrael. The Gula Hashem Amitis, Kimeis Heskim Rezeshaim, Eren Neflos, with
Mishiyat Zekeinu B'mehem Yameinu Amen V'Amen. Alechti B'Pesach.